The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, my God will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? My God, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. My God, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This week, I submitted the final proposal for the Lilly Endowment Clergy Renewal Grant, and the hope of this grant is to receive a significant chunk of money, $45,000 to be exact, to help us enter into a time of renewal or sabbatical. Now, while a lot of this is focused on the pastor and what the pastor will do during these 3 months of a sabbatical, it's also a time for the congregation to enter into a renewal period and do some discernment about who we are, why we are, and where we think God is calling us. At the same time, I'll be doing my own learning and processing while also taking some intentional rest and restoration. And as the sabbatical team and I have been working on this proposal, I've learned a lot of things about myself. But one thing in particular stands out. See, to do this work, we have this Google Doc, which is where you can work on one kind of document, and it means that everybody can work at the same time, and so you may see somebody else typing over you as you're typing. It's a little chaotic. But as we're working on it, you can see other people editing and changing and that kind of thing. And I was working on my writing one night, and Sarah Batiste was also working, and I noticed that she was making little edits of my writing as I went. Now, I used to have a fair amount of writing anxiety when I was younger, but since I now do a lot of writing for my daily work, I've become pretty comfortable with writing. But writing while others are actively watching and actively editing created a different anxiety. Well, there is so much I want to learn about myself in this time of restoration next year to be able to articulate what I think the gifts of Christ Lutheran are, while also leaving space to dream about what is yet to be revealed, I discovered that I feel really strongly about a particular part of my writing that kept getting edited. It wasn't about what my goals were or what I saw the possibility for Christ Lutheran, but it's that I still type two spaces after every punctuation. There's some chuckles, right? Like, so this has changed a little bit. It used to be when you had typewriters, you would do two spaces because of the length of the characters, right? Even when I was in school, I still learned two spaces after every punctuation. That has since changed because we now have all the characters are the same size. So you only need one space. Yeah. Now, I know this has changed, but still without thinking, and every time I type, and I hit a punctuation, it's like my thumb goes in autopilot mode and I hit two spaces. Every single punctuation, period, space, space. Now, as we worked on this document, I saw Sarah slowly changing and editing the extra space out of each sentence, and I realized that this thing, the style of writing, is so deeply ingrained in me that my physical body does it without even thinking. It's automatic. It's default. I don't think about while it's happening. It just does. My thumb just goes twice. Now, we have things that we have internalized because of years of doing it a certain way, whether because we were taught how to do it that way or because of how we've taught ourselves to do it this way. Maybe it's the way that you always leave the shower curtain closed after you take a shower because you just have to do it that way. Or you always leave it open, right? Maybe it's how you wash your dishes, bath or shower method, or a dishwasher or paper plates. There's no judgment here. All are welcome. Maybe it's the particular order you walk through the grocery store, right? Or that you always back into a parking spot. You may have a reason for doing what you do, but ultimately you just do it. It's automatic. You don't think about it. It just comes out of you. It's a part of you. This is the type of relationship that God is claiming with the Israelites, that they won't need to teach others how to know God or how to tell each other about God, but it will be written on their hearts. They will know without hesitation, without debate, without defining, but with the automatic knowing in the same way my thumb wants to hit the space bar twice after each punctuation. God says, I will write it on their hearts. It will be labeled like your last name on your jersey, or the seat number on your boarding pass, or your license plate. But even more than an external thing, it will be internal. It will be like your blood type, the way your DNA fits together, the lines on your fingerprints, the words of God on your heart. I've always loved this conversation between God and the Israelites because it takes the pressure of being a good enough believer out of my hands and instead puts the responsibility of relationship into God's hands. Rather, trusting that the responsibility is always in God's hands. God claims us as beloved and writes God's name on our hearts, period. One space or two, it doesn't matter because it's God's work, not ours. So often we think about what we need to do to be worthy of God's love, when that's not the case at all. See, God has made this new covenant with us and has written the name of the divine on our very bodies. And not only that, what does it say about our responsibility here? Does God say, all right, once my name is on your heart, I need you to go out and tell everyone else about how much better you are than everyone else? No? That wasn't in the scripture? Okay. Does God say, once my name is on your heart, I need you to yell and scream and shout that you are a real Christian or a real believer and that you have the right answers about who God is? No? God doesn't say that? Well, definitely not. God says, and once my name is on your heart, I will be your God and you will be my people. No longer shall you teach each other or tell each other or yell at each other or shame each other or use my name to put one another down. I wonder if we lived our lives in a way that had God's name written on our hearts, not to tell others or to somehow use it to promote something or ourselves, but to instead live our lives reflecting back God's love and God's forgiveness. And to have it become so ingrained in us that it's known, so a part of us that God's love and forgiveness is nonchalant, yet intentional, as much as a double space with a thumb or the way we move through the world. That we use our lives to glorify the name that is written on our hearts. Not for selfish gain, but for the love and forgiveness already shown to us in our God. Drawn into Christ to show love, to embody forgiveness, to end iniquity and injustices, and to live more fully into our identity that is already written on our hearts, that is washed on our foreheads, this place in our hands. God says, "For they shall know me from the least to the greatest." Thanks be to God. Amen.